Sermon title is very simply November 5th. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 45 and verse 3. Genesis 45, and we go to verse 3, and it's talking about Joseph. Dennis has been talking about Joseph in the study of Genesis this morning, and you know, you've really missed out on a wonderful study. Dennis has done a great job in the study of the book of Genesis, and I'm going to give you, we only got about one more week of Genesis to do, and then I'm going to do a study on heaven. And we ordered 20 books. I'd rather have to order more books, and there'd be 50 of us here on CE Morning, rather than just 15 or 20 of us. So come out and join us for that. I think there's going to be some things that we're all going to learn about heaven, and I think that you will enjoy that. So I encourage you to come out and join us. Verse 3 of chapter 45, then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God has sent me before you to what? To preserve life. And how many times have you heard me say that each one of you assigned to your life, assigned to you that when you were born and God breathed the breath of life into your life, that God has for you a God plan and a God purpose. For you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, for you to tell others about what Jesus has done in each and every one of your lives. We have been put on this earth to help preserve life. That's what you have been called to, is to help preserve life by telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You talk about being in the life preserver business. We are in the life preserver business. And every time we reach out and we hand out another preserver, it's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that we're giving to them so they will preserve their life. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Eternal separations from God. And when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and they come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what a wonderful experience for them and for you, because you were the hands and feet of Jesus to help sow the word or water the word, for God to bring the increase, for them to know Jesus, to do what? To preserve their life. Preserve their life. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. A scripture that you are all very, very familiar with, but Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled by men. What is one of the attributes of salt? Preservation. To preserve. The church is called to preserve life. We are called to preserve the Word of God, to hold to the truth of the Word of God, to preserve life through its truth today, to believe the Word, to stand on the Word, and to proclaim the truth of God's Word is not just a crossroads gospel thing. It's something every church in America needs to be proclaiming, that we stand on the Word, we believe on the Word, and we're going to proclaim the word to a lost and dying world. Every church needs to be shouting that from a mountaintop today. If the salt, it says in verse 13, has lost its flavor, it's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Now look at verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bush basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The church, you and I, we are supposed to be the light of the world. Ezekiel 22 and verse 50, we won't go there, but it says this, I look for someone to stand in the gap. The church, you and I, are called to stand in the gap. We are called to stand in the gap for one another. We are called to stand in the gap for our families, and we are called to stand in the gap for America. If we are the light, we have to proclaim it, not hide it. The church has hid its voice too long. Where has it gotten the church today of being so passive? We've gotten the Bible thrown out of school. We've got the Word of God thrown out of school. We've got prayer thrown out of school. No anymore. We hear the Word of God, and it's just hushed in the halls of Congress. Where has it got America? The United States of America needs to hear, listen to me, the United States of America needs to hear the voice of the church, because you are the voice of truth. The voice needs to be heard in the church, it needs to be heard in the schools, it needs to be heard in our cities, and it also needs to be heard in the halls of Congress. On November 5th, that voice needs to be heard in the voting booths of America of what you stand for and what is it you stand for. I stand for the principles of God. We do not hide our light under a bushel, but we let it shine out to other people. We stand for the truth of God's Word. We let His principles shine through our lives. Sadly to say, listen to this, only 40% of Christians in America vote. You know what that tabulates out to? It equals 40 million votes that don't go out and are proclaiming the truths and the principles of God. What an opportunity that you have to stand for truth. Because truth is being missed out on in the United States. So many people say, well, I don't believe a Christian should really be involved in politics. They're messy and they're dirty and the people are crooked. We're not being asked to run for Congress. We're just being asked to be a light bearer for Christ by voting the principles of God. Joe brought up something on Wednesday during our Bible study, and I thought it was very impactful and I wanted to share it with you. He said that I believe that a lot of people do not vote today because when they started teaching separation of church and state in the schools, and they say it on TV, and we hear congressmen and senators say it, that people have thought it was wrong to be involved in voting. Well, let me share something with you, because there's a lot of people that do not know this. Does it say anything in the Constitution about separation of church and state? No. And the answer is absolutely zero. It does not say anything. But we hear politicians that bring that up all the time. Oh, we need to separate church and state. We need to separate church and state. Well, what is really being brought out in the Word of God through Congress is that the Congress or the United States or the government should not have anything to do in the workings of the church, but that doesn't stop the church from having everything to do with the workings of Congress. Amen? So I want to read that to you today. This is what it says. Congress shall make no respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amen. So I believe that, yes, the church has a voice, and it needs to be heard. We see how many churches were closed during COVID. Evil is on the move to close every church and to shut down the voice of the gospel. Well, we can use our voices at the voting booth this year. I'm not a pastor that's going to tell you how to vote. Now, I know that some of the mega churches do. They will have different congressmen and people come in, and they will let them politic in the church. I would never allow that to happen. I believe that the body of Christ needs to be led and directed by the Spirit of the living God, and if we will listen to the Spirit and we will do what the Word of God says, we will vote in the direction that God wants us to vote in. So I'm not a pastor that's going to tell you how to vote or who to vote for, but that you need to be in prayer, listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and vote the principles of God. You would be shocked to hear how many vote, because that's how Grandpa voted. Or you will be shocked to hear how many say, well, I vote that way because mom and dad used to vote that way. Well, I used to work in a union, or I am in a union, so I vote this way because this is how union people, this is how they vote. And I can tell you in my own life, because I'm not afraid to use myself for an example, I believe that in my younger years, I might have been a Democrat and I might have voted Democrat. And then later on in life, I become a Republican. And now I'm not either one. I'm an independent because I have got more of a conservative view on life and the things that are going on in our world than many times either side of the aisle that does. But I want to bring out biblical principles to you today that we need to consider the will of God. I work for two different unions, and I cannot tell you one thing that either one of those unions did for me, and there's as much corruption in the union as there is in the government. So I want to bring out to you biblical principles today that I want you to take with you to the voting booth. These two principles, only going to be two. These two principles have nothing to do with crime, they have nothing to do with immigration, and they have nothing to do with the economy. So we're going to set those things aside. We're going to look at the two principles that we know that are hard and fast biblically that we can stand on, we can believe in, and we can put our trust in that we are voting in the direction that God would want us to vote in. And the very first one is life itself. Amen. Since when have we been placed in a position to be God? The God we serve is the creator of life. Every life, no exception. Every life is precious to God because they are created in the image of God. Every life is God's creation. God chose that life to be born. Created in the image of God, wonderfully and fearfully made, as it says in 139 Psalm. New, known before they were even in the womb, as it says in Jeremiah. But what about rape or incest? I have so many people that say, well, what about rape or what about incest? Well, turn back with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. In Genesis chapter 50. Somebody said last week, boy, your sermon wasn't very long, so I wanted to make sure you got your money's worth today. Because I think maybe they thought I was cheating them. So Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. This is what it says in verse 15. So Genesis 50, verse 15, it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. Now listen to the words in verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones and be comforted and comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What was done as an evil act, God will use for good. So let me tell you, when we say that, well, the kids that have been conceived during rape or incest, we are then saying that, yes, that is an evil act, but God can still use it for good. It's not the baby's fault, is it? That we need to look at those things rationally rather than the way that some of the people in this world promote things. Now, when you stop and think about it, when you were conceived as a child, was it a holy and was a righteous occasion when you were conceived? Well, many people in the world can say, well, I can't say that. Well, then are you worth to be alive? Maybe we should have put you to death. My mother and father didn't abort me. When I turned 13, they probably wished that they would have. But they didn't. That's like saying, well, an adopted child isn't worth anything. A child that come into this world by parents that didn't love them or didn't care for them, that we should have just aborted those children. And the absolute truth of that is the answer is no. Some of the most beautiful people in this world are those that have disabilities and those who care for them. Through them, the love of God is shown to each and every one of us. When you see somebody that has a child with a disability and they are so loving and so caring to that child, it makes me think of how much Jesus loves each and every one of us. They have been given the breath of God, the breath of life, that life is so precious. Is it to you? Is life that precious to you? If life is that precious to God, that He is the creator of all, and He gives the breath of life, and we are created in the image of God, when we go into the voting booth, we need to vote God's principle. He stands for life. The nation of Israel is the second thing, and I'm going to be very brief on it. We've talked a lot about the nation of Israel this year. We have talked a lot about it, the Abrahamic covenant given to Abraham that was ratified by God. It was the only covenant that was ratified by God. All depended on God. And I want us to turn to that very quickly, and we're going to read that, and we're almost ready to close today. But turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. So we go back in Genesis to chapter 12. In chapter 12, it says this in verse 1. Now this is the covenant relationship that God is entering into with Abraham. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now listen to verse 3. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and you, all the families of the earth, will be blessed. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that will curse you. This is a standing covenant that is standing before us today. We need the nation of the United States to support the nation of Israel. You know, they are fighting a battle on seven fronts, but still they're standing true. They haven't fallen. And you know what? I guarantee you, they are not going to fall. God is protecting that nation for His purpose. Satan wants to destroy that nation. He wants to destroy that nation to let you know that you cannot trust in the covenant relationship that you have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to say, look, this covenant, he didn't stand for it, so you can't trust the covenant you have with the Lord Jesus. I entered a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that even though that I have not seen him, I've seen him from afar, someday I'm going to walk on the streets of gold. And because of that, I am in that covenant, and that covenant relationship stands forever. And the relationship that Israel has through the Abraham, it will stand forever, because they will not be defeated. We see evil that comes out against. It's okay in the United States to burn the American flag and fly the Hamas flag. It's okay to burn the American flag, fly the Hamas flag, and shout, we want it to be cleansed from the river to the sea. They want the total annihilation. They don't want a second party state. They want every Jewish person to be eliminated from this world, just like Hitler wanted all the Jewish people eliminated from the face of the earth. And you know what? Life wasn't precious to Hitler either. You know what he did with everybody that had disability and everybody that was infirm? He eliminated them. We do not eliminate life, brother and sister. We stand for life because we stand for God. Amen? So when you go to the voting booth this year, you think about those two principles. Now, you could ask me off the side, well, Leo, who do you think, what do you think about immigration, or what do you think about this? And I could tell you off to the side as a personal individual, but I'm not going to stand before the congregation, because I can't stand on those things and say, I know without a shadow of doubt that this is what the Word of God says and this is what the Word of God wants. These two principles that I shared with you today are two principles that I can stand on the Word of God and stand before the congregation and say, these two principles, without a shadow of a doubt, are two of the most important principles to God, and the church needs to stand for them. Amen? So will you stand with me today? Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just share our love with you because you have loved us so much. And we praise you, Father, and we pray for this nation. We pray that this nation will return to you as it used to walk in the light of God's will. We want our nation to walk in the truth of the Scriptures and in the light of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bring this nation back to you. And I pray that the leaders of this country, we see it spreading across many of the colleges, having baptism, people coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray for a United States-wide revival and for the people of America to return to the one true God with a capital G today. And we ask it in your precious name. Be with us as we go our separate ways, and may your hand be upon each and one of our lives, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, and we ask this all today in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great and wonderful day.